month, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 191. This is the Naughty or Nice edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We have gadgets and gifts of all different kinds that we're going to be looking into today. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them, just a little bit different. We're trying something a little bit different here at the Caffeination. All right, yeah, and it's not trying to blow your ears out. We're trying something just a little bit different here at the Caffeination. We're recently doing something over at the Tech Podcast Network where we're trying to collect a whole bunch of tips for different podcasters out there. And one of the tips that was actually put out there was to stand up while you do your show. This was by Andy McCaskey from over at the Slash Dot Review. So currently I'm standing, so I had to kind of makeshift a rig out of a whole bunch of stuff I have laying around. So what better to do it than a stack of coffee cans with the mic sitting on top of it? So I'm going to have to take some pictures of this because this is really ghetto fabulous. All right, this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast. You are listening to it hopefully from its home base over at www.caffeination.com. That would be the Caffeination homepage, caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. We have a fantastified show up for you today. We have our double dose of holiday pod-safe music. We have on today's show any and all of the following in no apparent order. We have robots, toast, geeks, Legos, inkjets, printers, right down the row, and asteroids, of course. So first up, just wanted to just remind you, in case you haven't had a chance to check it out, please head on over to techpodcast.com and check out the video from the last Tech Podcast Roundtable. It's the Xmas Roundtable, the Christmas podcast, done up by a whole bunch of guys who are over there, me being one of them. Basically, it's what geeks want for Christmas, what people are out there trying to find out about. So it was kind of a neat little rundown, so in case you haven't had a chance to head on over there, just wanted to remind you, and hopefully you could do so. If you have any feedback, comment, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw my general direction, please feel free to do that at caffeination@gmail.com. We always like feedback on pretty much anything we do. Hey, if the podcast sounds just a little bit different, maybe it's I'm standing, maybe I'm talking louder, I really don't even know. I'm feeling really good, feeling really passionate about today's show. I'm feeling like we're going to get some good stuff done. Hopefully you're going to learn a little bit. Hopefully you're going to be entertained, and then we'll send you on your way. Like I said, we have two fine pieces of PodSafe music today. One of them a little bit hardcore from an artist we've heard before, and another one just a little bit lighter, but still a little bit rocking, you know? So hopefully you're going to enjoy both of them. But first up, I did want to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs in to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. Literally, when we were doing the roundtable, we had a guy in Hawaii, two other guys, I'm not really sure, I think they're in the middle of the country, and myself over in Philadelphia. It was seamless, and we had 25 people in the room who were watching it. So there were... It was great. I mean, Todd switched from Hawaii to my computer here in Philadelphia. There was no lag. It was just great. So, I mean, seriously, you're not charged a permanent fee. So if once you do it, you know, it just keeps going. If you have meetings that run over, you don't have to worry about your costs doing the same. With GoToMeeting, you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office. You not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. Just imagine if I had to fly to Hawaii. The horror. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. We'd like to think that we're doing good things, that we're thinking good thoughts, and that everything is falling in line. We've had a couple recent suggestions about what we're going to be doing for the 200th episode. Well, we actually did just get a donation for something to give out for the 200th episode. So I'm going to be letting you in a little bit on that right after the first PodSafe Music Network selection here. Got a little bit off my thing there. All right, first one we have up here is from the rockin' artist that we played before. This is from Rockosaurus Rex. It's all about hardcore, like, deep-seated metal riffs and children's songs. So, I mean, it's you can't get any better than that. For something to get you up and going in the morning if you just happen to be listening to this tomorrow. By the way, we are recording this on Wednesday, December 19th, 2007. You can listen to it anytime after that. So first up from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have Rockosaurus Rex with their song Up on the Rooftop. If you'd like to head on over to Rockosaurus Rex's direct site, you can go to rockosaurusrex.com. Again, this is the children's song Up on the Rooftop with just a little bit of a metal bend to it. So hopefully you enjoy it here, and here we go. Again, that was Rockosaurus Rex with their fantastic song, Up on the Rooftop, so hopefully you enjoyed that. I don't know, there's something very visceral, very awesome about that kind of music, and how it kind of, it's really a definite separation in how the music sounds, and at the same point in time, the fact that it's all kids' music. So, my hat's off to those guys. All right, there we go. We're trying to work out the actual physical aspects of doing this whole new recording setup, because I'm actually away from the computer that does most of the controlling, so I'm trying to work this out here, so hopefully we'll get this down before the end of the show. Alright, first up, we have our section of text, Cruft. It's just the various amounts of bits and stuff that I found online. Some of the stuff is things that I want you to know about, want you to think on. Other stuff is, just interesting little tidbits, geek gadgets, robots, anything else that I can find that I think's pretty cool. So hopefully you're going to enjoy all this stuff. And then after that, we're going to have one more break from the PodSafe Music Network or wherever I happen to find some good PodSafe music. And then we're going to have some caffeine and food, and we have a fantastic selection of stuff for that today. So first up here, we have a little article from Slashdot, and I could spend a lot more time on this, but I'm really not going to. A lot of people are up in arms about the generalized cost of printer ink. Now, this is a topic very near and dear to my heart, being that I run a plot room in my day job. My day job is that I am a lab manager at a university here in Philadelphia. I actually run the architecture department's labs. I take care of all the computers, things with electricity, things of that nature. We spend a crap load, a metric ton of money on ink and paper every year. So this is something that I know a lot about. And people are complaining about how much ink costs. And then they're trying to say, oh yeah, well, you know, it's $8,000 a gallon. Okay, here's my only problem. Yes, you're doing it for shock value. You're saying $8,000 a gallon. HP and Staples are being accused of collusion on the fact that they're no longer allowing third-party cartridges. Yes, I agree with that. Here's my problem when you're starting to throw down the $8,000 a gallon link. Or, not link. When you're trying to throw down the $8,000 a gallon for ink, rather. It's not really a valid measurement, because I don't know, I wouldn't hazard to guess how long it would take you to go through a gallon of ink. These things, each droplet is measured in picoliters. I mean, these things are so unbelievably tiny that it takes 256 of these little nozzles to create a dot that you can see. So, I mean, it's not really being used in the same kind of sense. So they're saying, oh yeah, you know, if you thought $3 a gallon for gas was bad, wait till you see how much ink would cost. It would take you probably years to go through a gallon of ink. Now, there are certain valid criticisms that they have. First of all, the fact that they say, you know, ink cartridges do not tell you when they're out. They tell you when they have around 20% left. That is correct. The higher end of a printer you get, and especially if you have separate ink cartridges, the better information you get. Like, for instance, they warn you when it's 20% down. Usually most printers are good printing up until about 10 or 15% left. Some of them are even good down to 1 or no percent left. For instance, the plotters that we have in work, yes, these are just massive printers. They're actually good to no percent. Like, they seriously drain each one of the ink tanks because they keep the print heads for I know I'm getting really technical with the whole printer thing, but basically we have a separate ink tank for each color. We run through 350 or 650 milliliters at a shot, so we run through a ton of ink. But still, I just take a little bit of umbrage, because it's being used for purely shock value there. Yeah, $8,000 a gallon is probably around how much it costs, but it's just not an accurate measurement. All right, on to the next little thing here. This is more of a one-off. I know we had talked about this before, and this is something that actually fascinates me. There was a disaster in a northern province of Russia near the city of Tunguska, in 1908. Now, no one knew that, I think that's just what the region's called. No one knew that this happened until like a year later. That's how desolate this area is. Now, it's long been theorized by UFO people, by all those other people that are out there, any conspiracy theorist, that there was like a nuclear bomb detonated. Because nobody could explain exactly how the devastation that was wrought. I mean, basically, imagine a blast radius where all of the trees were basically petrified, knocked over, and flattened for miles around. There was no crater, so they surmised that the explosion had to happen off of the ground. Now, there was no explanation. They didn't really know how it actually happened. So, a bunch of scientists have recently been working, and they have a series of supercomputers that have actually been trying to work out, specifically the Sandia National Laboratories. They now have these massive simulations showing how a small asteroid could actually create a ball of fire and an explosion above the surface so as to not create a crater and cause the shock waves to come out. And then they went on to theorize, you know, because everything in the local news is end of the world kind of stuff. They went on to theorize and went on to show us that, you know, like, smaller asteroids actually produce much more of a danger to the planet as a whole than the larger ones. The larger ones we can see coming. These little missiles that are coming down, I mean, seriously, if one of these things came down in D.C., it would, there's no way to intercept it. You know, these are like the finger of God coming down and poking things. So, It was pretty cool, and really, I'd strongly suggest that you follow the link over at caffeination.com, because they have some awesome movies over there. I really wish there was a way to actually showcase them, you know, individually, but they have 8 different movies of the projectile coming in. They're all incredibly high def, so it's really neat, the simulations that they were able to run with the various supercomputers. So I just thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. It's one more a little bit of information to stick in your craw. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is from a website that we have frequented in the past. It's called D-Vice. It says, power your home with a mini nuclear reactor. No, seriously. So basically, there's a company that's saying you can you can buy a small, for home use, it's called micronuclear. It's by Toshiba, which is kind of freaky because, frankly, I can't stand Toshiba's tech support, and I would hate to think of calling these guys up for tech support in a reactor. Basically, it's meant to be buried under your garage, off to the side just a little bit, but yeah, it's around 20 feet by 6 feet, and it's 100 times smaller than your normal power plant size variety. It creates a 200 kilowatt reactor. It's supposed to be fail-safe, automatic, will not overheat. The whole thing, self-sustaining, can last up for 40 years. However, I've played SimCity 2000. I know that when you have a reactor that is at the end of its life cycle, the sucker melts down. And I would just hate to be in the area. Like, okay, fine, it's self-contained, it's relatively protected. Let's just say through normal operation, nothing happens to it. This is not 1950. The nuclear is not the new buzzword. We're not going to have nuclear car engines. Everyone pretty much understands that this stuff is bad news. So let's just say, you know, the unthinkable happens and, like, a plane crashes into your yard. Sucker hits a nuke and all of a sudden you have a contaminated leak there, you know, your little Chernobyl in your little suburban neighborhood. I just don't think, you know, they should really be dispersed. This is not green energy. This is energy that glows a lovely shade of yellow. So just wanted to kind of put it out there. Just I was kind of stunned. I mean, I've seen different older ads. Like, they originally had a prototype for a Nucleon. I think it was the Chevrolet Nucleon. It was a El Camino-looking car where the nuclear reactor was actually at the rear end of the car. I know we covered it on a previous Caffeination a while ago. The only thing I can think of is the Corvair. The Corvair only flipped over and exploded when you hit it from the rear. This thing would cause a tiny little explosion that would, you know, like, rock the street for miles around. So I don't like the idea of putting a nuke in anybody's hands. And then you're going to have the crazies who dig it up and do bad things with it. So just let's just say no to Toshiba and the micronuclear. All right, now the next thing we have up here is an example of technology that I'm hoping is a joke. Now, this is a prototype, but basically this is called the Speedy Slice Heinz. It's a jet-propelled toaster. I think this is only a toaster, a joke, but there's 2 turbines, one on either side of the place where you place your toast. You push the toast down, and both turbines then begin to, suck the air in, and the air crosses heating elements, and then toasts your thing to the proper crispness, I guess, within 50 seconds. So you're not waiting like a minute and a half. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to the point where it's going to be like from Back to the Future, where you're just going to be able to say, it's like 15 seconds and you have a whole tiny little dehydrated pizza turn into, like, you know, a giant one. Mom, is it done yet? So, it's just kind of funny, kind of crazy. It doesn't seem to be very many safeguards on it. Then again, it's only a prototype. But the weird thing that they did mention, and which I'm kind of wondering, as kind of a product shot, I guess, for Heinz, they have a piece of toast off to the side of the toaster itself covered in baked beans. I don't really know who eats their toast like that. And, it's just kind of weird. I don't know anybody who actually eats baked beans on toast. I actually eat baked beans cold as opposed to hot like my wife does, but still. All right, now the next little thing, I should have probably put this right after the inkjet story, because this is a different kind of inkjet. This is much more green, much more recyclable. Apparently up at NYU, they have the winter show this time of year, the ITP. I'm not really sure exactly what that means. I probably should have looked that up before this, but one of the students created something called the Plink Jet. It makes beautiful music with dried up inkjets. So she has the carriages from inkjet printers in different lines, and they're like different sizes, and they're all built into some kind of a wooden armature, and they produce different tones based on the electrical signals that go through them. There's no ink or anything in there. The only problem is I couldn't find a video of what it actually sounds like. So it's all well and good to you know, have it up there and say, okay, this is exactly this is how somebody's using it to resurrect older inkjet printers, and this is, you know, the artistic way in which she did so. But wouldn't it have been kind of cool to put a little bit of MP3 love up there, a little bit of fun so you could hear how the things sound? I don't know. Maybe it's just bad reporting on my part and not going out and finding more of it, but Engadget also didn't have it, so come on. But all right, next little thing we have up here. This is for a couple of different people who've written me in and said, you know, thank you for the Lego information that they've had that I've put out there over the years. But if you remember a while back, the $500 Millennium Falcon, the one that my buddy Jimmy went absolutely gaga over, 5,195 pieces. So this is a little bit of info porn for him, basically because this is sorting through. Apparently one of the editors over at Gizmodo actually bought one, and he brought it into his office. Massive, like, I think it has like a 200-page instruction manual for how to put the thing together. So it shows you him sorting the different parts. It shows you the different characters and everything else like that. And apparently he's actually going to be posting a video of him building, like a speed enhanced version of him building the thing. But it took him over 4 hours to sort the parts. Now, I don't know anybody else, but I probably would have just opened them one bag at a time. Then again, I've never built a Lego construction from instructions this big. Actually, I don't think I've ever actually built one from instructions. I always kind of just played around with the blocks and everything. Now, this is a whole different level. My buddy Jimmy actually has like an entire Star Wars set, you know, in his house. So like he has like the X-wings, the TIE fighters, the 8 AT-ATs, and the whole 9 yards. I think he's buying or has already bought the Death Star and the Millennium Falcon after I showed it to him. Is now on his wish list, but still. Alright, we've gone from that level of craziness, the little Lego unboxing there, to winter approaches, get the armed, back over with device. I don't really like the title that they have. The Snowballer is about 4 billion years overdue. Basically, this is a set of tongs that when you squeeze them together in the snow, it actually makes perfectly formed snowballs. Here's the fun thing. I've seen these before, but I really wanted to put it out there because I think this is awesome. I haven't seen them as neatly made, and I know that when we were younger, I saw a kid across the street use a massive ice cream scoop to do the same thing, but that same kid also used to dip the ice cream scoop in water to make it ice balls. So you're opening yourself up to a lot of problems here, but definitely cool. I think the thing's like dirt cheap. It's only like $9. So if you live in an area that has a lot of snow and you feel the need to defend yourself, this just might be the thing for you. This is called the Snowballer. One more time. All right, now let's see what we got up next. All right, now I wonder how lazy somebody could be, but this is just kind of a neat little thing. It's this is a tiny robot, probably one of the tiniest I've ever seen. It's actually sitting on the head of the toothbrush. All the different new Brussels, new toothbrushes that are out there everywhere, you know, they all kind of vibrate when you push the bristles in one direction. So this thing has a pager motor strapped up to the top of it, you know, or cell phone motor or whatever you have that makes it vibrate. And the battery's on top of the toothbrush, and it actually motors the sucker around. It's pretty cool. I'm trying to find, they actually just added the video, and the video seems to be kind of interesting, but at the same point, they call it the Bristlebot. So I just thought I'd pass it along. It just seems like this would be one hell of a vibrating toothbrush to use. So I wonder exactly what this would do to your teeth. All right, moving right along. What do we got here? All right, next up, we actually have the Because I Can edition here. Oh, yeah, by the way, for some reason, I was feeling really, really punchy when I actually put the teeth brushing robot out there. I called it the Hal Itosis, because everything now has to have a lowercase I in front of it. And, you know, Hal, the whole robot thing from 2001. But All right. yeah, I know. It doesn't really work if you have to explain your puns, damn it. All right. The next little thing we have up here is just kind of a public service announcement to everybody. I've seen this video online, and I think I'm almost mandated to play it for you. So I think that's going to be my next course of action here. All right, this is called the Bubble 2.0, and it's set to We Didn't Start the Fire. Now, this is such an interesting piece of music. I'm just going to let you hear it out in its entirety. I think you really need to in some aspects. It kind of talks a little bit about the current bubble and all the different companies that are popping up and the general entropy that seems to surround these kind of things. So hopefully you enjoy this. Again, this is the Bubble video.
Get me a CS degree, honor roll, MIT, moved to Palo Alto, opportunity night. Thought I had the perfect plan, took the job at Webvan, traded in my 20s for a worthless pile of tech stock. Suffered through the market crash, lost a giant wad of cash, pink slips, burger flips, would you like some fries? Happy days are here again, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, time to write a business plan so I can be like those guys. Here comes another bubble, it's a monster rally all around the valley. First you need a buzzword, then a second and a third, pick at least two industries to revolutionize. Find yourself an engineer, feed him pizza, buy him beer, give him just a fraction of the pie. Need a good domain name, must be cheap, can't be lame. Something cool like Flickr, Mevo, Wiki, you, Mahalo, Bebo. Telephone without the T, dig book with the triple G. Make your elevator pitch, cut it up and flip the switch. Here comes another father, LPCs are backing, maybe lands get backing. Blog, blog, clog it all, blog it if it's big or small. Blog in the Cineplex, blog while you're having sex. Blog in the locker room, baby's blogging in the womb. Blog even if you're wrong, won't you blog about this song? Launch party, nicely dressed. What's the point? Sausage fest. Blue shirts, khaki pants, looking like a line of ants. Need to get a Facebook page. All these guys are half my age, 29, past my prime. I feel so behind the times.
Here comes another bubble. In a year, we swear we'll all be billionaires.
Make yourself $1 million, partly skill, mostly luck. Now you can't afford a down payment on a small house. If you want a bigger one, Hillsboro, Atherton, better hope the same thing happened to your spouse. IPO, lucky you, have your cake and eat it too. Private yacht, party jet, why not buy a matching set? Build yourself a rocket ship, blast off on an ego trip. Can this really be the end? Back to work you go again.
All right, again, that was the Bubble song. I found that one over at TechCrunch originally. It's actually called by a fun little group called the Richter Scales. So it's been featured on almost everything at this point. There's a whole bunch of different versions that are posted online, but apparently the original one that went up actually did something like 1 million hits in the first week. It's partially because geeks just love talking about themselves, and it's also partially because it's a pretty good video, to say the least. There's some of the gags that you really can't get just by listening to it, so you really should either head on over to YouTube or head over to caffeination.com and check out the Bubble video. All right, now for a really honest-to-goodness piece of pod-safe musical goodness, we have the Hot Rods. I'm pretty sure, yes, it is, the Hot Rods' Hey Little Drummer Boy. If you'd like to find more about these guys, you can head on over to hotrodsmusic.com. But they have been provided today by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So here we go again with the Hot Rods and Hey Little Drummer Boy.
Hey little drummer boy, kick us a beat. Get the three wise men hopping on the feet. The ox and lamb will help keep time. Baby boy. Mary gave a smile, a wink and a nod. For the drummer born to play for the child of God. When his wooden sticks hit that drum,
that was Hey Little Drummer Boy, in case you couldn't figure it out, by the Hot Rods, and you can find their stuff over at hotrodsmusic.com, or you can find them and the rest of the PodSafe Music targets over at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. So, alright, so far so good on today's episode. A couple little things to fix up there, but everything seems to be working out alright. Gotta work out the physical issues of actually standing up to record, because all the switches are in the place where I don't need them to be. Alright, we have a fun, that was of course the end of the TechCruft, a little bubble video, kind of put a nice close to the little bits of technical goodness that we got here. Now we have a little bit of caffeine and food stuff going on. First up's a fun little story from over at TrendHunter.com. Now we've previously featured a couple different kinds of shot glasses here at the Caffeination. The first was actually a mold so you could make frozen shot glasses, which is actually pretty cool. And you know, we found other ones. I think there was one that changed color, and this is the first time I've ever seen edible shot glasses. Yes, that's right. These are called Minty Sweet Holiday. They're called candy cane shot glasses, actually. They're just candy shot glasses. I mean, there's really nothing else to tell. They're red, they're white, they're striped, and they're shot glasses. $6.50 for a set of two. They're completely and 100% edible. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. I'd hate for them to make something like this and then have it not be edible, because, I mean, that would just be wrong. They need to talk to the wax fruit people on that stuff, but still, it looks like an interesting thing. I mean, $6.50 is just a little bit steep, because I'm pretty sure, you know, if I got some soft candy canes up in here, I could probably roll them out flat and make some sort of semblance of a shot glass. But, I mean, yeah, they're saving you the, you know, let's just hope next year they go down in price a little bit. Imagine taking, like, a shot of chocolate liqueur in a mint shot glass. That would definitely be a nice way to ease out the night. Or, but then again, you know, seriously, though, for $6.50, though, you're probably going to end up sharing the shot glasses with everybody else. I don't know. I don't know how long they'd last either. I'm a real big fan of the soft peppermint, so I'm not too big on the hard peppermint anymore. After I started eating that, it was over for the rest of it. All right, next little thing we have up here is actually a fun little link I saw from over at gizmodo.com. There's a new kind of teapot that's coming out. Now, this is not a teapot that you put on the stove. This is not one. This is much more along the lines of the Japanese tea garden style teapot. So you boil the water elsewhere, you put it in this thing. It's called the Sorapot. Sorry. Now, you can pre-order it for $50. Well, that's just the deposit, actually. Yeah, I know. I haven't been able to find out exactly how much it costs. They're a limited edition of $300. Wait, one second. Oh, okay. Sorry, it's $50 deposit, and then you have $129 after the fact. So, all told, it's $179. That's a lot of money for a teapot, especially one that you can't stick on the stove. Now, here's the thing. Imagine a clear glass beaker, and imagine two bookends that are metal with a nice metal ring over the top of it. And then after that, you're going to imagine a spigot, because that's what goes on most teapots. And that's pretty much it. You have to take the thing apart to actually put the tea in. I'm pretty sure you could probably just fiddle it down through the front, but I think it actually has some kind of filtration system. You know, I'm just not sold on this. I mean, I'm all for objet d'art. I'm all for things that look cool. I'm all for, you know, I mean, hey, I run the podcast based off of the different gadgets and everything that I've seen. So there's just something about this that screams like the person doesn't actually drink tea. Like they don't have the first clue about how to make it, because I don't know. It doesn't seem like a smart way to do it. You know, to have to take the whole thing apart. I mean, if there was like a plug or something like that on the one end, and you just pop that off. But no, you seriously have to unscrew a bolt that's at the bottom and take the whole thing out and separate it out. And I guess it's so you can clean the glass, but I really don't know. I actually have some of the style of teapot in which you brew the tea in it, as opposed to heat it up in there. So, I mean, I'm well versed with that. They all have some kind of filtration system at the front. My parents actually brought me one back. It's a terracotta teapot from San Francisco when they went. They went to the Japanese Tea Garden, and later on I went there. But still, it's kind of fun, kind of interesting, but it just doesn't... That seems to be more advanced than this thing. And that thing was probably significantly less than $179 all told. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is the Hackaday Special. This is a PID. It's basically a little robotic controller, controlled popcorn popper coffee roaster. Now, basically, you take a big 5-gallon bucket, you take a serious amount of robotics, you take a popcorn popper and a flexible duct, and you put them all together somehow, and you create perfectly home roasted coffee beans, which I'm all for. There's a serious amount of electronics work and knowledge that goes into this, so my hat's off to the fine fellows over at Hackaday for even checking this out. It's pretty interesting. You do have to do a little bit of trial and error, especially when you're using the popcorn popper to find out the actual roasting profile. You know, it changes with humidity in the air. It changes with the kind of beans you're getting in. And I'm actually really kind of disappointed since, like I said, I work at a college. So since the students are out right now, for the last week, the students have been gone. One of the places that I just found on campus for coffee is actually closed. I'm assuming until after the holidays, at the very least, until the students get back, probably, when it really comes down to it. But like I said before, I found this tiny little hut in the middle of campus where they actually roast their own coffee beans every morning. I was walking by and I was always amazed at the scent of coffee that was coming off this place. And I very infrequently buy coffee elsewhere during the week because, you know, I make fairly good coffee in my office. So this kind of stunned me, and then finally I walked by one time and I actually saw the roaster sitting outside, and this was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and the guy's sitting there roasting like 5 pounds of beans, and I was like, wow, do you really go through all that in a day? And he said, oh yeah, we make a new pot of coffee every 15 minutes. So I tried it, and this is my new indulgence. When I'm on campus, when I've had a bad day, or when I just need a little bit of extra something in the morning, it's unbelievably buttery smooth coffee. You do not need sugar. I mean, I don't take sugar normally, but you know, sometimes you have to soldier through things. This is unbelievably beautiful. Then just actually a little aside before we get on to the rest of the information here. I recently ran out of coffee filters in work, and I don't know if anybody out there has ever actually made camp coffee. That's basically where you have the water that's boiling and you throw the coffee grounds into the water. I just wanted to tell you, I had forgotten this trick for a little bit and actually had a little bit of grounds in my glass. You keep a glass of cold water in a fridge or something like that, and after you have the coffee brewed, you pour the cold water into the pot of coffee. That settles the grounds all the way to the bottom. Then you just don't shake the pot as you pour it. And it gets pretty low. I mean, by the time I ended up finishing it, as long as you're not shaking the pot around or sloshing it around, it got pretty much down to the bottom. Then you give it a nice rinse and you're ready to go again. And it actually changes the flavor profile of the coffee slightly. When you have the paper filter in there, it tends to run a little bit more bitter. At home, I have a metal filter, which is probably the easiest way to improve the taste of any coffee that you have is use a metal filter. The second one's sweetener, which I'm not really big on. But definitely I'd suggest every once in a while just trying a little bit of camp coffee. It's actually kind of fun. If you put a little bit of salt, just like I'm talking the tiniest pinch into it, it actually makes the water boil a little bit quicker. This is like over an open fire kind of thing you could do. This is how coffee was originally made. Or if you don't have the cold water laying around, you just let the coffee sit just for a couple minutes. I think like 1 or 2 minutes until the boiling level subsided. The convection action is kind of cooled down just a little bit. Then the grounds settle to the bottom, and they really don't get into your coffee. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. All right, next little thing we have up here from Device is actually a fun piece of architecture that I was unaware of. Apparently, if you ever go to Austria, specifically in Graz, Austria, there's a fantastic place called Aeolia Island, A-I-O-L-A. I probably butchered that. I have horrible pronunciation skills sometimes. Basically, this thing looks like it's straight out of a rendering. It looks straight out of like a sci-fi movie. It's all lit and everything. It's actually an island in a river. It's in the Mur River. It opened in 2003. And why are you asking, am I putting it in the middle of the coffee and caffeine and food section? That's because there's a coffee house in it. So you can actually, it's a very futuristic looking thing. It's actually sitting in the middle of the river. There's different suspension bridges to each side of it. It's lit a lovely shade of blue, and there's all kinds of crazy cool angles in there. And it's actually done by a New York architect named Vito Acconci. But I'm going to stop pronouncing people's names. But it's pretty cool. It's kind of like an amphitheater little setting. It's almost like a conch shell actually sitting in the middle of the river. And they have a lot of pictures of it at night. It just looks gorgeous. So if I ever head to Austria, I'm definitely going to be stopping by there for a cup of coffee. All right, next little thing up here is actually a thing I found from the Associated Press, believe it or not. This is in Rancho Cordova, California. The cops are trying to tell people to be a little bit safer, to try and watch the way they drive. So what cops are doing now is, if you are driving perfectly fine, if you are being a good citizen, obeying the laws of the road, not actually driving overtly aggressively or anything like that, the cop will pull you over, and then they will give you a coupon good for a $5 at Starbucks gift card. Basically, it's a Starbucks gift card. Yeah, I don't know why I went that weird obtuse angle on it. But this is kind of cool. I wish somebody would reward me for driving the way I do. I'm not even sure if they would consider it good or not. But it's pretty cool. Apparently, local businesses have donated the money to buy the gift cards. It's only through the holidays. So if you live anywhere near Rancho Cordova, California, you might want to go through, drive nice and slow, and let people pass in front of you, and hopefully you might get a gift card. Or by the time you actually spend the money to get there, $5 in gas is, 4 miles, 5 miles, I don't even know. All right, and then the last little bit of information we have before we send you on your merry way and wrap this Caffeination 191 up is a crazy thing that I found not too long ago. It's just called the Insane Coffee Machine. I could not understand the German that's attached to it, but you really need to head on over there and check this thing out. This is an all-in-one coffee station. So rather than just making coffee the normal way, this German tinker decided to build his own coffee machine completely from scratch. app. So there's all kinds of pneumatic gizmos and gadgets. The thing looks like it takes up around the size of a large air conditioner. So I just want, I'm amazed at the level of productivity, and I can only imagine the amount of coffee he had to go through to actually get this where he wants it. So I think this thing's actually plumbed. That's what it looks like. So there's like a chiller in there, there's a heater, there's all kinds of different gadgets and gizmos in there that create apparently what is the perfect cup of coffee. So you can just head on over there and check that out. It's from hackedgadgets.com, which is a new kind of fun blog that I found. But the entire site's all in German, and while I understand some little bits of German, there was a crazy amount that I couldn't hear. The entire thing seems to be built on the idea of a French press, so it's a French press with hydraulics. I mean, this thing is like hardcore. I don't really know if I'd be attaching all kinds of strange gizmos to my coffee. I'm a very simple person when it comes to coffee, but I mean, this is like if you take this is like if you take a pneumatic tube and try and brew coffee with it. So kind of cool. I'm pretty sure the thing can make espresso. And I haven't had a chance to watch the film because my network connection here is ungodly slow right now. But that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination number 191. So hopefully you enjoyed yourself today. Hopefully the new way we're doing it didn't actually affect the final product. I feel a little bit better. Apparently Andy said that it's supposed to increase your chest resonance, make it so you don't have to take as many breaths, and it actually gets a little blood flowing, gets you a little bit more awake and aware. But then again, this is the Caffeination podcast. If I'm not awake and aware, what am I doing recording the show? So this has been, of course, the Caffeination podcast number 191. Naughty or nice, a whole bunch of different gadgets on either side of the spectrum here today. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. Again, if you'd like to find this podcast and you were gifted it by somebody else, you can head on over to caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Or you can find your way over to the Tech Podcast Network, of which we are a member at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. We're also listed over at the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. If you'd like to find us at MySpace, it's myspace.com/caffeination, twitter.com/caffeination, pretty much any social network that's out there /caffeination, and you will find me. We're trying. If you find one that we're not on yet, please, hey, send me an invite. I'll gladly jump on there. This has been a great show. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well. If you'd like to send in any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to do, we will gladly accept all comments, both positive, negative, and hopefully constructive, at caffeination@gmail.com. And last but most certainly not least, if you'd like to leave us a phone message, please feel free to do so over at 215-240-1319. Full contact details are obviously over at caffeination.com. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Finally, this has been a Puzzle Piece production. Kind of a whole bunch of stuff to throw here at the end so that you know what to do and how to do it. So, we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.